if someone were to ask you, how do you build in your mind, how do you build a Jewish life? What are the elements, the foundations of Jewish life? So Rav Volbi tells us that we're going to begin with Emunah. That was the first section. And now he says we're going to talk about mitzvos. And at the heart of mitzvos is this second perek, perek sheni, chukei chayim, rules for life. The word Torah is lahoros, it's a guide. And so the mitzvos that we have, that the Rebbe Shlomo gave us, are a path. They're a way to live. And so when we think about that, there are two different aspects. Two, not competing, but complementary dimensions of why we do mitzvos. What the mitzvos provide. Rav Volbi points out that number one, as the Gemara says, and the Medrash says, Lo nitno mitzvos elo litzaref bahem es habrios. The purpose of mitzvos is not given other than litzaref. Tziruf means to purify. The mitzvos affect us. They affect us in a deep spiritual way. They affect our neshama. That's the baseline. But beyond that, they affect us in other ways. The Medrash says, Does God care? Does it matter, so to speak? Does it change Hashem Yisbarach? Whether we shecht in one manner or in a different manner? No. Hashem, ani Hashem lo shanisi. Hashem is perfect. We're not doing God any favors when we do mitzvos. Don't think, right? Imagine somebody thinks like, you know, the Rebbe Shlomo needs our mitzvos. He doesn't need us, obviously. We're not doing him a favor. It's for us. It spiritually uplifts us. And there are two kinds of mitzvos, says Rav Volbi here on page Chaf Aleph. Yesh mitzvos, bottom left. Shetaimon muvan me'elav. There are mitzvos whose rationale are self-understood. Lo sirtzach, not to kill people. Lo sigzol, not to steal, not to kidnap. That's obvious. If you want to have a functioning society, you can't have people terrorizing each other. Right? That's one obvious class of mitzvos. These are self-understood. And then Rav Volbi points out, yesh mitzvos, there are some mitzvos, Shakarish Baruch Hu Gilat Ta'aman, that God revealed their reason, even though they wouldn't have been intuitive. For example, what does he say? Va'anche Kodesh Tiyuli Ubasar Basara Treif Alo Sochelu. Not to eat treif food, meaning non-kosher food. Hashem says that creates spiritual holiness. How that is, I can't tell you exactly. That's a special spiritual secret. But Hashem says, eating non-kosher food has a negative effect on a person. So he tells you that. But then there's a third kind of mitzvos that Hashem doesn't even explain. Yesh mitzvos shakadosh baruch hu, in the third paragraph here, lo gilat ta'aman, he didn't reveal their reason. They are called chukim, their rules. Anachnu to'amim bahem ta'am, we try to have a taste of them. But we don't really know why they are. The idea of ta'am, the word ta'am means reason, but it also means taste. You eat food, let's say, why are you having a donut this morning? Why are you having a donut?
It's here and you gotta taste good.
Ah, so one reason is because it tastes good. But let's say you were hungry and you didn't have access to any other food. Why would you eat the donut? Yeah, exactly, because you need the nourishment. So it's more geschmack, so to speak, when the food that you need, the nourishment that you need, tastes good, but you're going to eat anyway. God forbid there are people in the world, I mean, we can't really imagine this, Rahman al-Islam, They have serious food insecurity. They don't know where they're going to get food for their next meal. So they're going to eat whether they're hungry or not because they need it. So we're going to do mitzvos whether we know why or not, but it's always more geschmack to find some attachment, some taste. So what Rav Volbi is pointing out here, and this is a basic idea in Judaism, is that we approach mitzvos in different ways. On the one hand, you could say we approach mitzvos in a context in which it's obvious to understand the benefit of that mitzvah. And that's true for many of the mitzvahs that we do. It's clearly beneficial in some way. And that's amazing, and that's clear to us. But then there are times where we have a mitzvah that we can't explain. We don't see the benefit at all. Or, I would argue, on a practical level, let's say you have a mitzvah that you know what the benefit is, but you're just not in the mood. You're just not interested. So why are we doing it? We're doing it because we need to do it, because we're expected and commanded. So both are happening at the same time. And that's what he alluded to in the Hakdama to this whole Chelek, where he talked about the idea of Harev and Targilenu. Harev means we should enjoy it. It should resonate with us. But on the other hand, we should have Targilenu, which should be habituated to us. And this is a really important thing to talk about today. Why? Because in America, there is a high emphasis on autonomy. No one's going to tell you what to do. Many of you guys now have cars and credit cards. If, God forbid, you had to go to the hospital, the doctor can't tell you what to do. You tell them what you want. If you don't want to be treated, you can walk out of the hospital. Autonomy is a big deal. And now, there's also, especially in certain circles, the idea of being authentic is important, which obviously it is. So imagine you woke up one morning and you felt like, I'm not really feeling tefillin today. And so it's not authentic for me to put on tefillin. I'm not going to put on tefillin. So first of all, authenticity as being your true self, your neshama is waking up in the morning feeling, I get to put on tefillin, let's get going. Right? That's what your neshama is going. Your goof is going, I want to go back to sleep. But your neshama is thinking, I'm ready to put on tefillin, or I'm ready to daven. So that's aleph. But beis, the fact that you don't feel that, you don't have the tam, it doesn't taste delicious to you right now, it doesn't mean you don't eat. Only a person who, God forbid, had an imbalance would refuse to eat food. Right? That would be totally unnatural. So, says Rav Volbi in the bottom paragraph, Osim mitzvos, we do mitzvos, v'yodim lehem tam, and we know the reason, gam hatam mosif tziruf, then the reason, it adds purification. We grow. Makne mida tova, oker mida ra. You know what it teaches us? It teaches us how to become better people. The Rambam talks about how the rules establish a nice, just society. You find something and you return it to the owner. You learn to respect people's property. Some of you guys learn bava kama, bava metzia. You learn all the interpersonal regulations that appear in Parshas Mishpatim. You become a mensch. You become a person who knows how to respect other people. That's a benefit of a mitzvah. Rather than just growing up, without any manners. Ikar hatziruf u'maisa mitzvos atzman. By doing the mitzvos, even if we don't necessarily understand them, that creates a framework for us. When I was a little younger than you, my grandfather, my mother's father, who I was very close to, he had a stroke. And that deeply affected his ability to function. So I would go and visit with him as a young boy. I was allowed to fly by myself to Florida, where they spent most of their time. And I would go to physical therapy with him, and I would go to occupational, keep him company. He would do, occupational, like play things with his fingers, because the left side of his body was severely debilitated, and he had to build up his strength. So I remember the occupational therapist once said, it's very good that you have a schedule every day of prayers in the synagogue, because it forces you to be out of bed and dressed and have a destination that you have to get to in the morning. So you have to physically push yourself. I thought that was so interesting. That's like a most basic example of how a Torah schedule, the doing of the mitzvos, it gives you a structure. The fact that you have a mitzvah of tzedakah, many people, like my grandfather, I'm talking about him, I remember him very warmly. I miss him. He used to give me 26 cents in the morning when we would go to shul to give tzedakah every day, because that's the gematria of the Shem Havaya. So you give me a quarter and a penny every day to put in the pushka. And every day, if you give tzedakah every day for your entire life, you give even 26 cents, you become a more generous person because you habituate to giving. It's a seder. Anu chayim b'chsoch seder Eloki. We live in a divine world. Elokim bara es achayim kavalonu seder chayim. Of course, it's on a deep spiritual level, but it's also true on a practical level. Turn the page, chafez. Hamitzvos mosifos gambrius. They add health. A person in the marshmallow test, a young person, 8, 9 years old, you give the kid one marshmallow, you say, wait 10 minutes, we'll give you a second marshmallow. Familiar with this test? Walter Mischel, right? So the famous longitudinal studies show the great health benefits of having delayed gratification. So much of Torah is delayed gratification. Orla, you can't eat fruits for the first 3 years. Imagine you're a farmer, you plant a tree, you've been waiting, and now the first fruit grows. You gotta wait. Wait. You gotta wait 3 years. Fourth year, bring it to Yerushalayim, Neta Ravoi. That's delayed gratification. That teaches you how to be a mensch. Many, many other examples. However, as much as the Torah gives us a structure and enhances our life in every aspect, At the same time, avol olam forever, ein zet taman hayechidi. That's not their only reason. Haseder Elokim merumam meromei meratzef mekadesh gam hatava leguf yeshbo. It has all of these benefits. It elevates us. It purifies us. It sanctifies us. It benefits our body. But we'll go back to the beginning of the paragraph. We do it because we have a relationship with Hashem. Even if we don't understand why, even if we're not in the mood. If you have an agreement with someone, if you're in a partnership with them, you're expected to hold up your half of the partnership. That's the nature of a commitment. Every serious relationship has commitment. So let's say you're in a relationship with someone, especially somebody who you care about, and you take care of each other. And let's say, you know, any difficult circumstance comes up, and the person, they're laid up in the hospital, and they say, you know, could you do me a favor? Can you take care? When I'm in the hospital, can you pick up lunch every day? So what if happens one day, that person that you love, that you care about, and they're waiting for you to get lunch, they're sitting in the hospital, but you're not in the mood to schlep out and pick up lunch. Yeah, but if that's what you committed to do, if that's what they asked you to do, and that's what forges the relationship, even if you're not in the mood, even if you don't see how it benefits. So that's, of course, the bedrock of the mitzvah. Even if I'm not in the mood, even if I don't feel like that mitzvah is changing my life, if I don't see the benefit, I do it because I'm in a committed relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not because we're helping him. He doesn't need our lunch. But that is a way of reconnecting and creating that firm relationship that we built together. Have a great day, guys.